Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Boy, oh boy, do we have a guest for you. I hope you're prepared. His name is Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, but since we're pals, he lets me call him Monsignor. Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, I am so excited to talk to you. Before you respond, let me tell my audience, you're the author of a book called Diary of an American Exorcist, Demons, Possession, and the Modern Day Battle Against Ancient Evil. I am somebody who has had some experience with this. I am not a Catholic, but I know so many people that understand this is a reality. And we're living in a world where a lot of people pretend as though it's not a reality. You know it's a reality. And I'm thrilled that you wrote your book, Diary of an American Exorcist. Welcome to this program.
Nice to be with you. And it is surprising even sometimes that Christians themselves will not believe in the existence of evil in the world. And because if you read the Bible, it's pretty clear.
But a lot of Christians don't read the Bible. A lot of Christians aren't even Christians. But who are we to judge? To quote my favorite non-Catholic Pope. Now, we can't joke. No time for joking. So let me ask you, how did you get involved in this? Because anybody who is serious about the God of the Bible understands we're dealing with wickedness in high places. This is a reality. So a lot of people like to ignore it, or maybe it makes people nervous, so they ignore it. What is it that drew you into this? Because I can't think of anything more important, frankly, than dealing with this as you're dealing with it.
How I got into it originally was that the diocese had a referral. Someone said they had demonic problems, and I'm a licensed psychologist, by the way. So the bishop gave me the case to evaluate psychologically, and I said, you know, the person is not a psychological disorder. I think the person needs an exorcist. So the bishop then asked three different priests to do the exorcism, and they all declined. They didn't want to do it. So I sat there with the bishop and said, what do we do now? I said, well, give it to me. I'll do my best. And I had a senior exorcist advise me, and so I kind of backed into it 14 years ago.
Well,
and several hundred years later.
It's just an amazing thing. I have a dear friend, Ken Fish. He's been on this program many times, Protestant evangelical. He's been dealing with this stuff for years. I know many people on the mission field that have been dealing with this for years. Many people didn't become even aware of this until the William Friedkin film, The Exorcist, based on the movie in the early 70s, or I should say the movie based on the book by William Peter Blatty. And it is something that is obviously real. I come at it from the point of view of compassion. Somebody's struggling with a horrible thing. So what do you make of it where in the church, the Catholic Church in this case, there are people that they don't even want to bother. They act as though, well, it's not my problem. They don't seem to understand that you have somebody suffering. The church has an answer. But even they aren't aware of how to deal with it.
Well, first of all, you mentioned, Eric, the case of the movie The Exorcist. That was based on a real case, as you know. There was a young lad, 12 years old, who was possessed after using a Ouija board for months. And he was tormented. I mean, he was tormented. The family with us was suffering. And as a result of the exorcism, he was freed. And I think he's still living a very peaceful married life now. And so the joys of this ministry is that people come to you suffering terribly. And by the power of Christ, and in Jesus' name, we cast out the demons, and they get their lives back, and it's a joy.
But you must understand that you're, unfortunately, something of a rarity, not just in the Roman Catholic Church, but in Christendom. There are many people who don't go near this stuff. They will send you to a psychiatrist as though—and by the way, most psychiatrists, unlike you, they don't have this category. They don't say, well, we tried this. Oh, it looks like it's this. They don't even have that category. So there are people dealing with maybe it's diagnosis, schizophrenia, or this or that. There is a demonic element, and they don't even know who might be able to help them with that.
Well, some things are, I think, in some circles starting to change. Pope Francis actually has, and the Vatican has asked every diocese in the world to have an exorcist. Now, they don't. I think in the U.S., we probably have maybe 100 and some odd exorcists, so maybe half the dioceses have them. But so there is this growing awareness. But right, I mean, there's a lot of people say, well, we've gone beyond this because modern psychology and science can explain everything. But the reality is some things that happen in an exorcism, you can explain naturally.
I mean, look, I have been in the room I've been right next to people who have been manifesting demons.
Yeah.
And when you see it, it's very hard to believe that the person's making it up or they're just generally crazy. It really does seem like what we're talking about. What was your first experience where you saw this kind of thing and you knew the reality of this in a visceral way, in a personal way, rather than just something you believed about because that's what the scriptures say?
Well, I'll tell you one difficult case we had. Thank God she's been delivered. But she first came. She had these unexplained bruises and scratches in the morning. And there was nothing, you know, she woke up with them. We said, that's strange. But we kind of poo-pooed it away. And then she started seeing these shadow, dark figures out in her lawn at night, which seemed these demonic-looking figures. And then what happened was she started having this, what we call occult knowledge. She started knowing things about the priests around that there's no way she could have known. So we brought her in. We started praying over her. And we started praying over her. Her eyes rolled back. You could see the whites of her eyes. She flopped on the ground. This demonic evil presence came forward. We started screaming. And it was just incredibly evil. And it was like, okay, there is an evil presence in this room. And it took about a year and a half to liberate her.
See, now that's an amazing thing because it reminds me of cancer or some disease where you don't snap your fingers. Sometimes it is a long process. It's kind of like going through chemo and then there's surgery and then there's this and there's that. I have been amazed at that. And that's, to me, what argues for it as reality. In other words, this is not some mystical thing. This is a spiritual reality as real as any physical reality. And when you have experience dealing with it, you kind of begin to understand the parameters of that reality. You begin to understand how to deal with it. So why would somebody like this, in this case, you said this was a really particularly difficult one, why did it take so long? What was that procedure?
Well, I think that, as you mentioned, it's a process. And I think we call it a healing ministry and a ministry of conversion. So it's not just magic. You don't just say the right ritual and bang, they're gone. No, it's we work with the individual, have them convert and sanctify their lives and cast out the evil. And slow, there's a slow process of purification and sanctification. And then finally, at the end, the demons can't stand being there. This person is an unwelcome host for an evil presence.
Oh, wait, now that's a very interesting thing. So you're saying that, I mean, I know about this, but it's interesting to hear the way you've put it, that there are people who have made a place for the demonic, whether they know it or don't. Usually they don't know, but they have created a landing strip, so to speak, for evil to come in. And you're saying that that person needs to choose to take away the place where they have given they've given a place to this demonic spirit. And you're saying it has to do with living a holy life. It has to do with believing in Jesus. So all these things. There are cases, of course, where somebody does believe totally, and then just the way Jesus comes in and he rebukes the demon and the demon just goes. That's a different story. I imagine you've seen some of those as well.
Yes, but the open doors, as we call them, to the demonic, sometimes is because people are not practicing the faith. They're living a sinful life and doing occult stuff, and then demons have an open door. There are times when children, we've had cases where, sadly, the parents have been involved in Santeria or voodoo or that sort of thing or witchcraft, and they dedicated their children, through no fault of the children, to this evil demons. So sometimes they're possessed not by their own fault. But still, it's a process of slowly casting out. Remember when Jesus healed the blind man? Remember, he put the mud, whatever, the spittle, and it took a couple times. He said it looks like walking trees or something. So there is this, even in with one Jesus case, there's a slow process.
Hang on just a moment, folks. I'm talking to Monsignor Stephen Rossetti. The book is Diary of an American Exorcist.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year, and I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Folks, welcome back. Boy, oh boy, we're talking about something really important, exciting, fascinating. The book is Diary of an American Exorcist, Demons, Possession, and the Modern Day Battle Against Ancient Evil. My guest, the author, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti. Monsignor, you were just saying that this is complicated. There are times when it takes time to deal with somebody. You were talking about also the idea of how we can make a place in our life. There could be a wound, a place of deep unforgiveness or something like that. And so when God tells us not to do this and to do that and whatever, it's obviously because he loves us. He doesn't want us to open ourselves up to these horrific things. I imagine the biggest problem in our culture today is people's ignorance of this. They simply don't take this seriously. What do you say to people who just say, this sounds old-fashioned, I just don't know why I would need to go there? That seems, it just seems, you know, medieval.
Well, I know, and people say that, you know, the church makes all these rules and stuff, but as you mentioned, they're really for our protection. And God's trying to say, look, these are the things you need to do to live a holy life and to protect yourself from evil. The first thing, of course, is by practicing the faith. That is your primary protection against evil. And then when people start doing all this, for example, sadly, this witchcraft, there's an enormous number of people who are doing occult stuff, witchcraft, whatever, and that's an open door, whether you think it's or not. And so, I don't know, I warn people. I say, look, throw away those tarot cards, throw away the Ouija boards and those witchcraft books. These are doorways to Satan, and we have plenty of people who come to us in a panic because after doing these things, Satan has some hold over their lives.
What are some of the kind of manifestations you've seen? In other words, you said in this initial case, the person's eyes rolling back, a scary guttural voice, and that they would know things about the priests around them. I mean, Many times on this program, we've talked about a rhema word of knowledge from God, where God speaks to us and tells us something. But obviously, the enemy of our souls also can have information. And there are people that don't know the difference. They just think, hey, if I get information, it must be from a good source. You're saying, no, that there are demonic voices as well that may try to deceive us.
Sure. I mean, lots of people have psychological problems, poor self-esteem or whatever. But when Satan starts, which he does to all of us, that voice in our ear, for example, you know, you're a lousy person. God doesn't care about you. You're there's no hope for you. And then what happens is, for example, we're still exercising this one person who practiced witchcraft for about 10 years. And her whole demeanor got this sullen, dark, heavy, quasi-depressive affect, and you could see the effect of evil in her life. And what the Lord gives us, he said, that my joy might be yours and my peace might be yours. So one of the signs when we know the person's closer to freedom is when they start feeling a sense of peace and a sense of joy, and you see it on their face. It's a wonderful thing to see that joy back on their face.
It's amazing. Have you been in the room when you've heard other languages or voices that were clearly not the voice of the person dealing with this?
2 days ago, I did an exorcism of a young woman, and she started writing in a foreign language that she doesn't know. And then we have it translated, and it turns out it really was a demonic rant against us. So
in what language?
Many times, it was an Eastern European language, just to protect her confidentiality. But it was an Eastern European language.
An Eastern European language, and she was writing something, not speaking it?
She was writing it, yeah. It was writing in that language, yeah.
This obviously doesn't surprise you. You've seen this kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. No, that's one of the major signs of a possessed person. I will speak to them oftentimes in Latin or some Italian and see if the person responds to it. So sometimes out of the mouth of the possessed person, they'll start actually speaking the right in a mockery of it in Latin.
Speaking the right of the Roman Catholic Church in a mocking way?
Yeah, in Latin, and the person does not know Latin, you know. So, yeah, no, that would be common, that there'd be some knowledge of foreign languages that the person doesn't know.
I just have to ask you, I always say to people that the movie The Exorcist is so evil to me, to why there's so much evil in it, I tell people not to see it, because I think that even if you have faith, as I did when I saw it, it's I would argue that the director almost gives too much power to Satan in the movie and makes it seem like, you know, the priests and God only win by a whisker, which is baloney. The authority we have in the name of Jesus is total. The demons are frightened of us if we understand the authority we have in the name of Jesus. But I was always bothered by that in the movie, that they really made it seem like the enemy has more power than he actually does. You don't see that in the scriptures when Jesus is dealing with demons. They're scared of him, which is exactly the case when they're dealing with us. If we're speaking in his name, they're scared of us because they're scared of him.
Totally. And that's the major mistake Hollywood makes, I think. They have a kind of dualistic universe, like God and Satan are equal. Not even close. My little ditty is I say, look, Satan's compared to Jesus a dust bunny. We throw a little holy water on him, you hold up a cross of Jesus, and they go into a panic and they're screaming because they can't stand even a little bit of holy water, a little bit of a cross, anything related to Jesus, they are just done in.
So what do you say to people who simply don't believe there's such a thing as hell? I think there are a lot of people that are so uncomfortable with it, they completely ignore it, including many Christians. I would prefer that there were no such thing, to be honest. But what do you say to those folks? Because you're dealing with the demonic. You see this stuff.
Yeah. Well, and that is important, I think, Eric, to say, you know, is there really Satan and evil in the world? I should say, look around the world yourself and try to tell me there's no evil. I mean, the worst cases like Hitler and the extermination of the Jews. I mean, that to me, I there's no doubt in my mind that Hitler was possessed, and that and the Pope thought so too. By the way, he did an exorcism 3 times from a distance from the Vatican, trying to exorcise Hitler. So
I've not heard that. The Pope at the time, I always forget who was the Pope.
Pius the 12th.
Pius. So he performed ceremonies knowing that there was a demonic issue with Hitler.
I think it was very obvious to the people. I actually think several of us think that Hitler's high command were all possessed. They were out to exterminate the Jews, which is a terrible genocide. And of course, Jesus was a Jew. And so, you know, it's a way of getting back at God's people and back at Jesus.
So wait, Jesus was a Jew, but Mary was Italian, correct?
Of course.
Thank you. Just because you scared a lot of people there. No, seriously, this is it's just important that people understand this is a reality. Have you ever had any visions of the heavenly or of the demonic yourself while you're doing this? Because I know some people that have had those kinds of experiences.
We do have actually a mystic who has had these kind of experiences, but those are unusual. But most of us who are intensely into this ministry have what we call kind of a spiritual sensitivity, where you become aware of the presence of evil and it just becomes awful. You know, you just feel this evil thing and you sense it and you go, oh, this is awful. You just, the mystic told me, and I believe it, that the worst horror movie in the world does not come close to how awful evil is and how dark and how just simply ugly evil is.
Well, that's the thing. It's like we can barely imagine it because it is the focus of every bad, evil thing. That's Satan. I know that even Christians, people who have been baptized and so on and so forth, can nonetheless have oppression by demons. Maybe we wouldn't say that they are possessed, but that there's an oppression, that there's something going on. I'm assuming you've seen that as well.
Actually, most of the people come to us are not fully possessed. They're what we call oppressed.
Right.
They have some demonic activity in their lives, but it doesn't rise to the intensity of a possession. And the good news is that usually you can liberate someone like that in maybe a handful of sessions. But they'll have marks on them. They'll be tortured in their mind. There'll be demons attacking them at night. So all sorts of real manifestations, but not fully possessed.
So if people want to find you or get some kind of help, I'm assuming there are people listening who have someone in mind, maybe themselves, who are dealing with something that might be this kind of an issue. Where could they go?
Well, if they think they're possessed or even oppressed, they should go to their local Catholic priest or their pastor or whatever, or their diocese, the Catholic diocese. We do have an app that has lots of good deliverance prayers in it called Catholic Exorcism. So go to the online, go to an app called Catholic Exorcism, and there'll be a bunch of good deliverance prayers, many of them for the laity.
Hang on a second. We're just going to go to break. Folks, I'm talking to Monsignor Stephen Rossetti. The book is Diary of an American Exorcist. Hey there, folks. The book is Diary of an American Exorcist. Monsignor Stephen Rossetti is the author and my guest. Monsignor, you talk in the book about the hierarchy of demons. Again, this is an invisible world, but it's just as real as the invisible world of the periodic table. You know, most of us can't see an atom, or rather a molecule of gold, but it's there. And we can infer from the way things react what's going on that level. It's similar when you're dealing with the demonic or with the angelic. It's there. It's real. And there's even a hierarchy. Talk about that hierarchy.
Well, we believe the angels were created in what we call nine choirs. There's a hierarchy. And even the angels that fell became demons. They maintain that hierarchy. And, of course, at the top of the hierarchy in hell is Lucifer or Satan himself. So he's the boss, and he unfortunately runs hell as a narcissistic, vicious, cruel leader that he is. They actually command obedience from the lower demons and beat them up. I mean, the demons have said that to me, you know, that the higher level demons will beat them up, especially if they do something that
demons
Lucifer
have said
like.
This to you. I'm fascinated. Say more about that.
Well, for example, normally anything out of the mouth of a demon is a lie or manipulation, unless Jesus makes them tell the truth. And so we try to get a little bit of truth out of them to help the exorcism, like what's your name, when are you leaving, how'd you get here? And so I was commanding the demon to tell me these things, and they were, and they stopped. They said, we don't want to tell you anymore. I said, well, why is that? And they said, well, because, you know, the upper level demons will beat us up. And they were terrified of That's the what I call the Darth Vader school of leadership. I mean, they just beat each other up. Whereas in heaven, the Lord loves us and there's a sense of unity and peace. But the demons will command obedience through violence.
Well, this is not surprising. It is demonic. It is horrifying. Do you have any experience, or do you know anyone who's had any experience dealing with Lucifer himself? That's always, to me, a staggering thought.
Yeah. Well, I did once. I'm doing this for 14 years. I have hundreds of, sessions and thousands, actually, probably. And most of the time, there are demons that when they tell you their name, well, might use that name, but they're not really. They're lower-level demons. But once, in a brutal case, as a matter of fact, I said, in Jesus' name, I command you to tell me the name of your leader who's here in this cohort that's possessing this person. And he said, you're not ready for this, Rosetti. You're way out of your league. It's the king of hell himself, Lucifer. And I said, you know, I'm not ready for that. It is way out of my league. But it's not out of Jesus' league. And so in Jesus' name, I command you to leave. But Lucifer himself was cunning, intelligent, vicious, and came forward. It came forward with a hiss, and his voice sounded like a serpent came forward with a hiss.
I'm always wondering, you know, who's listening to this program and thinking, gosh, this is just out of my comfort zone. I think my guess, I think this is right, honestly, is that there are many people who are made uncomfortable by this to the extent that they have to bat it away, because the one thing they don't realize is that Jesus gives us power over the demons in his name. But they don't believe that, or they think, well, I'm not holy enough, or I'm not, I don't know what I believe. So they just basically bow to the fear and slink away or ignore it because they're not willing to walk in the authority that Jesus gave us. He gave us this authority in his name. But I think there are people that they'd prefer to just believe, well, they're demons or there's something, and I'm just going to do whatever I need to do to avoid them. Which, of course, you're already giving into them.
Yeah, amen. I mean, that's how Satan rules, through fear and intimidation. And he tries to manipulate people. Sometimes the possessed will say, oh, we don't want to do this because that upsets the demons. Or in the middle of an exorcism, the demons will I'll say the name of Jesus and bow our heads, of course. And then the demons will say, stop saying that name or we're going to punish you. And I say, okay, if you don't like it, we're going to do it even more. And we start saying the name Jesus again. So whatever they don't like, we do more of. Because if you, as you say, if you don't, they rule by fear and intimidation. But when we trust in Jesus, that's when we find liberation.
Well, so one of the reasons I wanted you on, Monsignor, to talk about your book, Diary of an American Exorcist, is because generally speaking, even in churches, this stuff is little spoken of. It's certainly not spoken of in the culture, and there are literally millions of people deceived into silence, into some kind of fear, into some kind of compromise. The enemy is afraid of us talking about this, but we don't speak in our own authority. We speak in the name of Jesus with his authority and his protection. What can we do more? Why aren't more exorcists writing books like you have written? It seems to me that if you care about people, you have to. It's like saying, well, we don't want to deal with medicine. It's too controversial. I mean, we want to help people.
Well, I totally agree with that. And I think on a larger scale, when you look what's going on in this country, I mean, I love America. I'm a veteran of the Air Force, and I think it's the greatest country in the history of the world. But there's a lot of violence, a discord, hatred, bitterness. These are signs of Satan's activity. He's the one that's prompting all this. Martin Luther King said, hatred cannot drive out hatred. Only love can drive out hatred. Jesus said that. Love your enemies. So this country needs the power of Christ.
We're going to go to another break. We'll be back. Final segment with Monsignor Stephen Rosetti. The book is Diary of an American Exorcist. Hey there, folks. I'm talking to the author of a brand new book, Diary of an American Exorcist, Demons, Possession, and the Modern Day Battle Against Ancient evil. Monsignor, I have to ask you, I grew up in the Greek Orthodox Church. My wife grew up in the Roman Catholic Church. Both of us had born-again experiences, would describe ourselves as kind of C.S. Lewis, mere Christians at this point. And I'm a very pro-Catholic, non-Catholic. I've had so many men and women of God in the Catholic tradition on this program. But usually the people that I interview are different than the run-of-the-mill, what are sometimes called cafeteria Catholics, people that they were baptized, maybe they'll get married in the church, but they don't walk in this. And I think sometimes that parishes and parish priests, they don't require enough of people. They just kind of act like, well, you just show up and, you know, be a good boy. And we're dealing with, as you put it in the title of your book, ancient evil. So I'm always thrilled when somebody like you talks about this stuff and writes a book about it. But it does seem to me that if you grow up in your average parish or as I did in Eastern Orthodox churches, you just tend not to hear about this. They kind of act like that's something somebody else does, maybe in a back room in the Vatican.
Well, I think if you do talk about this and realize the reality, it changes your perspective. All of a sudden you say, you know, there is a real dynamic warfare going on there between good and evil. And there are evil forces out there. And I need to choose Christ and his message, because there is really a hell out there. And you don't want to go there. If you've seen what demons do to people, you do not want to be in hell. And so there's a real choice that we make. Life is critical. Fundamentally, it's in the end, it's a choice. Choose God or choose the demons. Which do you want?
What do you make of it when we have, I mean, we've got lots of politicians, for example, who say, I'm Catholic. And it's pretty obvious from their positions on certain things that they're not Catholic in any real sense. It just becomes a label. We're dealing with deep spiritual realities right now, scary things. Do you just think people maybe have lost the fear of God and the idea of how central this is to our existence, that we just kind of act like everything's basically fine and we don't have to worry about it? I mean, you've seen in your life, everything's not fine. People are dealing with the ugliest things imaginable, and most people don't even want to talk about it.
Right, and when you see what Satan does and the demons do to people who are possessed or oppressed, you kind of go, whoa, this is incredibly evil. And then you look out in the world and you say, you know, there are footprints of Satan in this world. But there are footprints, of course, of Jesus as well. But I think as you say, even the Catholic Church, there are plenty of priests who don't believe in Satan and evil and hell. And all I say is, I'll tell you a story. Father Gabriel Morth, the famous exorcist from Rome, he was talking to a Vatican cardinal. The cardinal says, I don't believe in all this Satan evil stuff. And Father Gabriel said, well, Your Eminence, I have a book that you need to read. He said, which book is that? He said, it's the Bible. You know, Jesus believed in these things, and he spent a lot of his ministry casting out evil.
There's no question about it. I know there are people listening right now, they're suffering, and they want to know, where can I go? And I think a lot of them would think that if I went to my local parish, I'm not going to get anybody who's interested in this, or I'm going to get somebody that is, they're too hip to deal with this stuff. Are there websites where people can go?
Well, first of all, I would say go to our app or website, Catholic Exorcism, or www.catholicexorcism.org. There's lots of good deliverance prayers. There's good videos there and lots of stuff that you can do. So there's lots of stuff that individual can do to cast out evil from their lives. And so there's a lot of stuff there. But if that's not enough, and if the evil's rather entrenched, then you might need your local pastor or priest to pray it with you, or community pray with you. And if your own one, try to find someone in the area who will. Usually there's a priest or two in every diocese that is into deliverance praying.
What are some other open doors for the demonic? I know in some cases, sexual sin, there are a number of things that sometimes open a door. What are some of those in your experience that can open
doors? Let me give
you
my what I call my little cocktail for getting possessed. I don't suggest you drink it. One, stop practicing the faith. The faith is your protection against evil. Two, start committing serious sins. It could be anything, but as you know, we've had several alcoholics, drug addicts, people committing serious sexual sins, whatever. That creates a vulnerability. And number three, and add that, then start practicing with, then start doing occult stuff like using Ouija boards, doing witchcraft. Even if you think it's white witchcraft, it's still witchcraft. Any sort of magic or divination. And that is basically you're giving a Satan a little card. Any sort of New Age divination thing that's not from God is an invitation to Satan. Add those three things together, you're in trouble.
And so there are many people that they will go to palm readers, or they will even get involved in horoscope stuff. It's all dangerous, but it's presented in a way that it's going to help you.
Yeah. A priest exorcist said yesterday that he had a case where this person had used tarot cards quite a bit and was possessed, and he commanded the demons to tell them their names. And the demon said, I don't have a name per se, but I'm the demon that answers people's tarot cards. So that he said that was his job. He would, you know, when people use tarot cards, I'm the guy who answered.
So you know this is a reality. For you, this is like, you know, run of the mill. This is like you're a doctor. You do this stuff every day, every week. But again, most people just don't have the beginning of a clue. Are there any movies or things like that that you would recommend that you would say that does give a realistic picture of this kind of world?
I would say the best thing that I would recommend, either go to our website, or other exorcists have some podcasts or websites, and they'll talk about their experience. So there are probably two or three different places in the world that have websites where an actual exorcist will speak about his experience.
Well, we're just about done. I just want to thank you on behalf of everybody listening for writing this book, for living the life that you live. There's so many people that need help, and people who know people who need help. So I want to thank you, Monsignor, for the book, Diary of an American Exorcist. I hope folks will get it. And again, Monsignor, God bless you. Thank you so much.
God bless you and your work.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
Folks, have you done it yet? Have you done it yet? What am I talking about? I'm talking about this, Food for the Poor. This month only, we have an opportunity to bless those who are struggling in places like Haiti because of the situation in those countries. They have been especially devastated by the COVID situation. So they need our help now more than ever. If you give $37, that feeds a kid for 6 months. That is how staggering Food for the Poor is as an organization. They have warehouses on the ground. They have supply lines. They are already there. They just need our money to make it work. And that's why they come to us on this program, because they know we have generous audiences. Now, Albin and I want you to go to MetaxasTalk.com.
Yes.
And to click on the banner and to give whatever you can. There's also a phone number. But I just want to say, we really need you to step up early in this campaign, please. This is it's an urgent situation. I will simply say that $111, which for many of us is not much, is able to feed six. This is able to feed three kids for 6 months. Yeah. That's how far your money goes. So please go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the banner. If you prefer to call, you can do it right now, and we hope you will. 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. We've got to say this. We, just because we want to, we're giving away three grand prizes. Now, a grand prize is an embarrassing amount of swag,
yes,
and stuff and whatever. We're giving away three of those. So no matter what you give, doesn't matter what the amount is, anything you give, you're going to be put in the hopper, and we're going to pick out three grand prize winners. We also want to say anybody who gives $500 gets what?
Yeah, this is great. A video from you.
Oh, a personalized video.
That's right.
From me.
Yeah.
Wishing whoever you want a happy birthday or whatever it is. Now, obviously, this is a fun thing to do for somebody. If you're already going to give the $500, it's just the way we want to bless you.
Yeah.
Anybody who can give $1,000, you get two of those.
Yes.
And
yes.
A visit to the studio with as many human beings as we can cram in here. If you don't want to come to New York, and we can't blame you, you can send friends. You can tell friends who live near New York. We already did this. Go in there with you and your family of 12. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
We just want to bless you. I finally want to say there are people, obviously, who can give tax deductible $10,000 to Food for the Poor. Again, this is the organization's been about as vetted as it gets.
Yeah.
We want to encourage you. If you can do that, this would be a great time to do that. You're investing in the future. You're laying up for yourselves treasure in heaven, which Jesus said we ought to do. The only question is exactly how. We'd like to recommend this. You can call 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Now,
yes,
Albin,
yes,
we should mention this.
Oh, yeah.
I think I mentioned this the other day, but I'm not sure. This is a big deal. Fox News refused to air. Mike Lindell is doing a cyber symposium
right.
in a few days to encourage hackers to show that what he is alleging, that this election interference by foreign countries, which would be basically like declaring war in America. He's saying, like, if it didn't happen, show me. And if you can show me that I'm wrong, I'll pay you $5 million.
Right.
Now, he's doing this because he wants clarity. Okay, you don't have to agree with him, but every American has to agree. We should know what happened in the election and we should clear up any questions, right? Fox News refused to air his ad on that. So I want to say on this program, anytime anybody does that, plays that cancel game, we need to hit back. So I'm asking you, for the sake of the nation, not for Mike Lindell, support him by going to MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric. Go to MyStore.com. You can buy most of my books at MyStore.com. Use the code Eric. It's important that we do whatever we can whenever somebody is being treated this way. We should stand up for each other. You don't have to agree with people you stand up for. This is a principle. It's an American principle. And don't forget, of course, NutraMedics.com. Use the code Eric. Don't go away.